Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. We're going to look at this one sentence this morning. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Now, be not carried about. That is, moved here and there, and then over here and over there, carried about, carried out of the way, tossed about. I think of a leaf. You see a leaf, and the wind blows, and that leaf begins to go whichever way the wind blows. That's where it goes, because there's no root in it. There's nothing that vitally connects it to the vine, that keeps it in the vine. It's carried about. With what? Verse 9 says, with divers and strange doctrines. Now, doctrine means teaching. What I do when I stand here is I indoctrinate you. I teach you. That's what I do. But you notice here it has an S on the end. It's plural. It means doctrines because it's referring to man-made teachings. Teachings that man has invented. Somebody pointed out that God's doctrine is one. I've often made the comment that when the men read Scripture and I get up here to preach, it always seems like they don't know what I'm going to preach, but it seems like the Scripture goes right along with what I'm going to preach. That's because the doctrine is one doctrine. It all stands together. It all stands together. It all ends in Christ Jesus. Every bit of it has its glory from Christ Jesus, and it redounds to His glory. It's all concerning Christ the Lord. The Lord told us there's one body and there's one spirit. Even as you're called in one hope, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. There's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He's speaking to believers. There's one who teaches the believer. And that He teaches the believer of one. And He makes the believer one in that one. And that one is Christ Jesus the Lord. So, it's called the faith. It's called so great salvation. Turn to John chapter 7, verse 16. John chapter 7, verse 16. I want to show you this one passage. It's the doctrine of Christ. But in John 7, 16, the Lord Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine, my teaching is not mine, but His that sent me." He's saying that all true doctrine is from God. And He says, if any man will do His will, if any man will do what God teaches in this doctrine, he shall know of the doctrine. If any man will do what God is teaching in this doctrine, he'll know this doctrine. Whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Because he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him. That's what you'll do if you believe this doctrine. You'll seek the glory of God who sent Christ Jesus. That's what you'll do if you believe this gospel. And that person that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now, when we read of doctrines, back there in Hebrews 13:9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. So when we read doctrines, plural, it speaks of man's doctrines, and man has invented many doctrines, many teachings. Now, there's two descriptions given here of man's teaching. Let's look at it. Verse 9 calls it divers. That's an important word. That word means variety. I looked at all the different translations, and some mix these word divers and strange together and lose the meaning of what it is, the total meaning here. Divers means there's a variety of teachings. You know that snack pack that your mom brings home that has all the different flavors and all the different colors of snacks in it, so that whatever mood you're in at that moment, there's a taste there that might fit the taste you want at that moment. There's a color there that appeals to your eye at that moment. It's a variety pack. That's what it is. That's what the doctrines of men are described as a variety. They're invented to appeal to whatever your taste is, whatever your sight is, whatever your flesh wants at the moment. That's what they're designed for. And then verse 9 describes them as being strange doctrines. It means they're not taught by God. God doesn't teach them. They're not in the Word of God. They're not in agreement with the person and work of Christ Jesus, which is what God's Word is all about. And they're foreign to the teaching that salvation is by God's grace. You know, if you were lost, let's say John got lost and his dad sent instruction to him, teaching to him, to teach him the way to go to get home to his father. That would be the true doctrine. That doctrine would be pure doctrine. It would be true. It would be for your good. He was wanting you to get home to him. Now, somebody else came along and they began to give some other instruction, some other teaching you a different way that was not the way that your father told you to get to him. Their teaching would be foreign. It would be strange to how your father told you to come home. This word is God's word on how to bring us to himself, how he will bring us to himself, the way in which he brings his people to himself. Men come along and teach another way, and it's strange. It's foreign to the way God the Father teaches. Now, let's look at an example of this. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And I've taken just a simple statement our Lord Jesus Christ made. And I'm going to go through this statement with you. And then I'm going to tell you what some teach that is foreign to this. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ in John 10, verse 11. John 10, verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am. That's a title that's specifically given to the great I am, to God. Really and truly, Christ Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. Some teach he's not God. Some teach that Christ Jesus is not God. That's strange, and that's foreign to the Word of God. It's strange, it's foreign to what God says about himself. He said, I am the good. There's none good but God. With men, there's none that doeth good and sinneth not. The only man that ever walked this earth that could truly say, I am good, is Christ Jesus the Lord. There was nothing in his heart that was... You know how sometimes somebody will come up to you, hey, listen, look at me. This thing of iniquity, of hypocrisy. God say hypocritical, things like that. When somebody comes up to you sometimes, and... Now, you don't have to admit this, but I know you've done this, and I'm going to explain to you what hypocrisy is. Somebody walks up to you at school, and they've got on some new shirt or a new dress or some new shoes or something like that. And they say, do you like these? And you look at them and you say, yeah, they're nice. And in your heart you're thinking, that's the ugliest pair of shoes I've ever seen in my life. Man, you wasted your money then. That's hypocrisy. You said one thing with your mouth, but you believe something else with your heart. Well, there was none of that in him. What he said with his mouth was in his heart. It was true. Every word he spoke was from his heart. It was true. But now some people say that there's a little bit of good in us. That there's a little spark of goodness in us, and we can exercise it, fan the flame a little bit to sort of bring ourselves to Christ. That's strange to what God said. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. This word says clearly there's none good. There's none that even seeketh after God. God has to give the willingness, the heart, the desire, and draw us to himself, or we won't seek him. Well, he said, I'm the good shepherd. Scripture tells us there's only one shepherd. The Lord said through the prophets, he said, I will raise up one shepherd, and he'll feed my sheep. I'll raise up one shepherd. And Christ came, and he said, I am the good shepherd. I am the David that he spoke about when he said, I'll raise up one shepherd, even David. He said, I'm that shepherd. I'm that guy, that leader, that teacher. Now, some people will teach, and they'll focus everything on man. And they make it seem as though the shepherd can't be the shepherd without the sheep allowing him to be the shepherd or making him to be the shepherd. He said, I'm the good shepherd. So that teaching is foreign to what he said. It's strange from what he said. It's a different flavor from what he said. And he said, there he said, there's one God, one good, and one Savior. And that's Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And any other teaching that differs, that varies, that says anything otherwise, is strange to this word. It's foreign to this word. It's not of God. Now, verse 11 there, he says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In verse 11, he talked about his person. Salvation is in a person. And salvation is in the work that person performed. Now here in the second verse, verse 11, or in the second half of verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now he's tells about what's the work of the shepherd. This word giveth his life, see how it ends with E-T-H? Look there in your Bible. See it? See, it ends with E-T-H. It means continual. It continues. You see, when he entered into an agreement with his Father before the world was made, before anything was made, to be the surety, to pay the debt of his people, of his sheep. And when he did that, he struck hands in an agreement that couldn't be broken, and he gave his life. He's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world because when he entered into that surety agreement, that mediatorial agreement, he became surety. He gave his life then. Now, some people say you don't become a sheep until you believe him. But that's strange to what he said because he gave his life even from eternity. Well, he gave his life when he agreed with the Father in eternity. And then he gave his life when he willingly came from heaven's glory, where he had been with the Father, to where we are. He gave of himself to do that. And then he gave his life at Calvary by dying under the wrath of God, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Sins won't be put away. You know what purging sins is? You know what sins are to be purged? When you go out and you play and you get your clothes dirty. Well, did y'all have your clothes dirty the other day after we played paintball? I went home, my knees was dirty. Real dirty. You know what has to happen for that stain to be removed? Whoever washes your clothes will take some soap, and they'll put that soap on that stain, and they'll scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub on that stain. And then they put it in and they wash and wash and wash and wash it. And when they get through, the stain's gone. It's gone. You know what happened? It was purged. It was gone. Christ purged the sin of everyone he represented when he died at Calvary. Now, some people teach that he didn't purge the sin. Some people teach that he made it possible for the sin to be purged. He brought in this thing of chance, that there's a chance yours can be purged if you trust him. And what they say by that is his work really didn't accomplish what he said it accomplished. They say now you have to do something to make that work have an effect, to really have purged the stain. Do you have to believe that your mother put soap in there and purged that and got the stain out for that stain to be gone? When she brings those clothes back to you and you see them, you say, the stain is gone. The stain is gone. Your believing is not what made the stain gone. The stain being gone is what made you look and go, the stain is gone. I believe it. It's gone. You see, it's his work. It's not, you hear that saying, put the cart before the horse. Which pulls which? The horse or the cart? Well, he's the strength and the power represented in the horse, and he's the one that's the first call. He pulls the cart. So, he said, I give my life for the sheep. He gives his life when he regenerates us, when he gives us life in here to know him and to love him, to trust him and believe him, to see that the stain is purged. He gives us eternal life. Some say that we have that by something we do, that we get that by something in us, by something we do. How can death bring forth life? How can a leper change his spots? How can an Ethiopian change his skin? He can't. God has to give life. He gives life. That doctrine that says otherwise is strange and foreign. Well, he giveth his life continually to intercede for us as our advocate with the Father, to keep us because he's God's high priest for his people. He's the mediator between God and his people. He intercedes with God and pleads his life, his blood. And he intercedes with his people and reveals to us again and again, the stain's gone. It's purged. You're accepted in me. Some people say that either we can live above sin after we're converted, or that we can have some power in us to put away our sin and repent of ourselves. Some people act as though some men call themselves priests and put themselves in that position as if they can do what only Christ can do. Some call themselves priests. Some call themselves pastors and set themselves up just like a priest. That's foreign. That's absolutely foreign to this word. That's strange doctrine. Strange doctrine. Well, he perfected forever. He redeemed from all iniquity. He purged sin. Find out what it means when he says he giveth his life. Find out what that means. Well, and then he says, I giveth my life for the sheep. For the sheep. Some people teach that Christ died for all men without exception. He died for all men without exception. He said, here, I giveth my life for the sheep, for my sheep. Now in John 17:6, he said, he prayed to the Father, and he said, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And then he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Wouldn't it be strange? Wouldn't it be strange if he died for everybody, but he wouldn't pray for everybody? It'd be strange that he would give his life for everybody, but he wouldn't intercede for everybody. So he intercedes for everyone that he gives his life for. His sheep are his. They're written in his book before the world ever began. And because they were written there, because they were chosen in him, they were blessed with all spiritual blessings by simply being put in Christ by God's choice. Now, when men say, well, but election means God foresaw you would believe, and therefore he chose you. There we go, putting that cart in front of the horse again. Putting man, strengthless, powerless man, in front of the power and the glory. Can't do that. That's another doctrine. That's foreign. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Look back at Hebrews 13 with me. I've got to show you this. I'm sorry I don't have any fancy illustrations for you this morning to keep your attention. I'm just trying to get you to listen to me. All right? Listen. trust Christ Jesus the Lord. What I just say. Trust Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what we've been taught throughout the letter to the Hebrews. Trust Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what we're being taught in the context right here in these few verses. We were told there in Hebrews 13:5. Can you see that? Hebrews 13:5. Look there at the end. It says, He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And then we're called to remember faithful pastor teachers. You know why? Because Christ is the one who teaches His pastors the Word of God. The Word says they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that knows God is learned of the Father. They've been taught of God. The Lord is the one who sends His pastors, giving them to us. And His pastors speak the Word of God. They teach the doctrine of Christ. In the pulpit and out, Paul said, we're ambassadors for Christ as if God did beseech you by us. As if God was talking to you by us. And we're called on to follow the faith of faithful pastors because Christ is the faith which faithful pastors follow. They don't turn from Christ because Jehovah is salvation and He's their guide. Therefore, Christ is the end of all that faithful pastors teach and do. Now, I'm not speculating on this. I'm not saying that some are that way and some are kind of that way. All God's pastors are that way. Or either Christ is an utter, total failure who has no power to do what He says He has to do. One of the two. Either you're going to have to deny your blood, the will of man, and the will of your flesh. Even though it may step all over your toes, you're going to have to deny that. Or you're going to have to deny Christ and His power to do what He says He does. And he says here, faithful teachers don't change from believing what Christ teaches. Neither do believers. The pastor who Christ has sent doesn't change the word he teaches. Don't change it. Not if he's sent of Christ. Because Christ don't change. And the word he teaches don't change. It doesn't change. He teaches the same word. He may grow in an understanding of it, but he doesn't go back on what God has taught him. The pastor who Jesus Christ has sent doesn't change the manner of his teaching. You know why? Because his conversation, his conduct, his manner is dictated by the power of Christ. That's right. And what did we learn last time about Jehovah our salvation? Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, those who teach varied teachings which are strange to His Word and to His glory are not sent by Christ. They are, according to Christ, false prophets who teach different and strange doctrine. Do you understand that? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Now look at 1 John 4, last scripture, 1 John 4. This is what we're called on. Is this going to involve us looking away from ourselves to Christ to be not carried away? Indeed, that's the only way we won't be. We'll flatter our flesh. We'll hang on to what we've always thought, the way we've always done it. We'll listen to what the testimonies of men are and say, well, now he appears to be a faithful man and he was used so much that I have to believe that's false. What I always tell you, go from God down to men, not from men up to God. Don't put that cart before the horse again. Listen to what God says and reason from God down. It's how God says it is. And therefore, when he says there's false doctrine, that means there's false prophets who go about teaching it. It's doctrine, it's teaching. Somebody has to teach it. Now listen. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Sent by God, taught by God, directed by God. How did Christ say you'd know? Whose glory do they seek? Who do they speak about? They speak about man, they speak about God. Do they twist the doctrine so that man can say that I have to believe to make his work effectual? Do they twist the doctrine to say that, well, it's because I believe that God elected me? Do they twist the doctrine to say Christ loves everybody without exception so that they can really ultimately say I saved myself? Or do they tell what God said? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth, agreeth with God, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You know what confessing Jesus Christ is? It's agreeing with God. Confessing that He's coming to the world is agreeing with God that He is the King, that He is God's anointed, that He is God's high priest, represented to God. He goes before God and He goes before men. And He brings God and His chosen elect people together. And it means that He is the prophet. He is the one who teaches His doctrine, the doctrine of Him. And He does it through His Word and through pastors that He has sent to teach it. As if God did beseech you by us, Paul said. So now, we're told to do what His faithful pastors do. Well, they were held up, and we were told to remember them. Who's spoken the Word of God to you? Consider whose faith followed. Considering the end. Where did their conversation meet? What is the purpose of it all? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And then we're told, you're told, listen, be not carried about. Don't be carried out of this truth. Don't be carried out of the teaching of God. Don't be carried out of the doctrine of Christ with these different flavors. Whatever appeals to your flesh, you know I for the moment. And with these doctrines that are foreign, strange to God. Don't be carried here and there by the variety pack of teachings which are strange to what God, Christ Jesus, the prophet, teaches. Is that clear? That's what he says. The only way we can deny that God gives pastors who feed with knowledge and understanding is to deny the God who gives them. The only way we can deny that those who teach strange doctrine are false prophets is to deny Christ the prophet. The only way we can deny and go after these strange doctrines is to deny the doctrine of Christ. And so he says, be not carried away with them. Be not carried away with them. All right, let's pray.